Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. This is Tech Talk. As Michael Tech Talk Castler, and we got Dave Sparky Saganaki on the line with us too, I think.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
We did it. We got him again. Oh my gosh! How many weeks is this now that we've just nailed it every single time? We've got the connection working.
A phone call. Yay!
Hey, I take it how I can get it. You know what? I've got a special guest in the studio, too. We've got Paul from Verizon. Paul, I don't even know your last name, Paul. I apologize.
It's okay. It's Ulrich.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. I got to get your... I think it is the other mic. Let's try it again.
Yeah, you're not used to having people
there
in the studio.
There we go.
Turn on their microphones, Michael.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's been so long since anyone's come to visit me here. I'm not used to it anymore. So we got Paul Ulrich from Verizon, and he's going to be here for the entirety of the show, watching us do what we do and and adding a lot of stuff. One of the things we're going to do later on the show is we're going to talk specifically about the Motorola line of phones. Verizon set me up with a Motorola Droid Ultra, which is just a fantastic phone. I've been enjoying it quite a bit, and we can talk about some of the stuff with that and moving along. But Paul's going to help us make the show happen and exciting. We've got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. We got Jay Garman, of course, coming on in just a little bit to do Geek Trivia, which, you know, last time he was on, I don't think that we actually got a Geek Trivia question out of him. We answered...
Good going, Mike.
I know. That's the whole point of him. And then we messed it up. I don't...
No, he goes well beyond that point. It's good to have you on the show, by the way, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
so not only that, but of course, I mean, there's just been so much happening this last couple of weeks. I've got to start off right away. Now, you know, I'm not an Apple guy typically, but there's been a big news. Was iOS 7 came out, and I actually went through the process.
Stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the first major upgrade they've made to their OS in a long, long time. I did go through the process of upgrading my iPad. Now, I do not have an iPhone. I had more trouble than others had with it, from what I could hear. It wouldn't do it at all at first, and then when I finally did get it to do it, it had an error 6 that kept coming up, which is some sort of security error, and I wound up having to kind of reinstall the thing. I have to say, though, after all the troubles that I had, and by all the troubles, I mean, this wasn't like, you know, tantamount to having to, you know, re-image a server or something. This was just having to rerun the program a couple times. It does take just a brutally long amount of time to do it.
I always wait to do upgrades. I wait a couple weeks. You never want to be the guinea pig. You never want to be first. You want to give everyone else a chance.
Yep.
Then you come in and do it, just to make sure they got all the bugs worked out.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and especially, and people said that too. I mean, online, that was the thing. Was like, you know, if you're concerned at all, wait at least a week. You know, make sure. But I couldn't. I had the
I
show
wish I
on
had
Saturday.
Called impulse control.
Right. No, well, you know, IT guy, right? Two IT That's guys right. here, right? You never want to be the first guy. You always give everyone else a chance.
Nope. Exactly. And there's always that heart-pounding moment, you know, when it doesn't work, and I'm looking at my iPad and it's got that Apple with the bite taken out of it on the screen, and the line that shows you how much is done is about 3/4 of the way, and then it says error failed number 6. I'm already going through my head. Oh geez. Oh, how am I going to, what am I going to read? What am I going to do at lunchtime?
You're at the top of the roller coaster. Your stomach is now dropping and you're like, oh my God, you're at the eagle. You're on the eagle and you're right on top.
That's right. That's exactly right. Exactly right. But it did work. It's all there. It's finished up, and I got to give kudos to Apple. Once I redid it that time, and I said, I just was patient and waited and did it. Everything came back, and now I had to reload a bunch of the applications, and I had some very large applications and a couple that I didn't even put back on, like Infinity Blade 2. I decided I'm done enough with it that I'm not going to try to put the gig and a half or whatever it takes back on the iPad. It actually restored everything, and this is a work iPad, which I've got tons of security on it for my email. It figured that all out. It reconnected everything from Twitter to Facebook to my work emails and Gmails. No problems at all now, and it's pretty. I don't know, have you worked with it at all, Paul? Have you seen it?
Little bit. I'm mostly an Android guy for the most part. Mm-hmm. I've got some of the Apple ones here, but with these new Android devices that came out, I've been addicted to them, and I haven't been able to put them down now.
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir. If my work didn't force me to have the iPad, I would have gone with a Galaxy Tab or one of the other Android tabs.
Right.
You know? But
to each his own.
Yeah, I gotta say I'm kind of glad. And Dave will tell you, I've changed my tune a bit on the Apple stuff since I've been forced to use it, just because it really is. It works. It's clean. It's easy to use. And I typically have very little trouble with it. And it's pretty. It does what it needs to do.
That's why there's a variety. You've got your Windows. You've got still got your BlackBerry hanging around. You've got your Android. You've got many different things you can use.
How much longer is that BlackBerry going to hang around for?
Paul, stuff that's not going to be true on the rebroadcast.
Yeah. and Paul's thinking, how much can I say and not get crap from my boss when I go back home?
There's different strokes for different folks. Some people love their BlackBerry still. There's people are still and they've got with all the Bez hardware they've got. They've still got a good niche, I think, of people that'll hang on to them for a while.
Yep. Yeah. And for those that don't know, Bez is the BlackBerry Enterprise Server, and that gives mobile device management to these devices, which allows you as a corporation to do things like add additional security, have control over whether the devices, when they leave your, the control of your organization, you can do things like wipe them remotely. You can remove device capabilities, and also to even manage granularly what aspects of your network they can access specifically. So yeah, the best stuff is really cool. There's a lot of third-party stuff out there that's starting to come up, but nothing. You're right. I was a big fan of the best stuff, and that was what I promoted and pushed when I was managing IT for organizations. And I don't think anything that I've seen has really come close to the enterprise level ability to manage your devices that the BlackBerry had. Now whether that's enough to save them, I don't know.
Sustain them, I think they can definitely. There's still a market for them, and for consumers, the more choices, the better.
Yeah,
you never want someone being too dominant, because that you just don't.
Yeah, well, and so that's where I could see BlackBerry. If the leadership at BlackBerry could get their head around it and do it, where they could really shine is to fully embrace the BYOD culture that we're walking into, the bring your own device culture, and say, look, we've got a good solution here. Let's make it thin client. Let's make this OS something you can slap onto your devices. There's new devices out now that have, and these are Android devices, but they've got the ability to have multiple profiles on them. And I think that's a cool idea, where you've got a virtual sandbox for your business, and then you've got one that's for your personal, and so you can have one device switch back and forth between the two, no worries about privacy or losing control of data and all that. I'd love to see BlackBerry move into that area.
Absolutely. Now that phones are all, there's so many different phones that all have the big screens and the fast processors and the great cameras, now it's moving on to the software side.
That's
now
right.
It's moving on, what else can this phone do to entice you to get it. It's about program software. These droids have these crazy features now.
Yep.
Where I was just playing with this one. This is one of my favorite ones because I have kids. If I want to take a picture real quick, I don't have to unlock it and then swipe it to unlock it and then press camera. You just give it a couple quick flicks of your wrist, and
yes,
boom, and the camera comes on. When your phone's completely asleep, you just flick it twice, and boom, the camera comes right on.
That's right. I was going to tell you, that I think is the killer app on these droids, is the Droid Ultra that I've got. The two things that were like, wow, this is awesome, this should be on every phone, that was one of them. I love that, like you said, that you flip it twice, and then you can feel it like rumbles a little, and then mm-hmm. you know you're in camera mode. And then the other thing is the active display feature, so that even though the phone is in sleep mode, if you get a message that comes through and you can identify which ones you want to see, it'll actually light up and it'll have a little, you know, blurb, and you can fold up into the app so that you can read that Facebook status message update. You can go into Gmail right away, whatever it is that you want to do. And
right, I use a lot of the Google Now.
Yes.
If you just say, if I say, okay, Google Now, call my hizzy.
Yeah.
And you'll see
my phone. And there it goes.
Right, there it goes. And it's gonna call my house right now. So, and the navigation. When my phone's completely asleep, I can just say, "Okay, Google, now navigate me home." And
that's
my
right.
phone will wake up. It'll navigate me home. Where I'm gonna use it once I leave here. I'll say, "Navigate me home," and it'll take me home.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. And I work from home, but I go into an office with enough regularity that it's now defined that, and it tells me, you know, when I bring up the phone, the Google Now will show me like, oh, it's going to take you 17 minutes to get to work today rather than your usual 20 because there's no traffic, you know, whatever.
Right. My dad was really impressed. He still has a basic phone, right? I'm trying to convert him. But we drove to the Sox game last weekend, and coming from Des Plaines to Comiskey is a long way.
Yeah.
And it actually saved us 15 minutes by driving completely out of the way and taking 294 back up to 55 and around because of traffic.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, no, we're not going that way. That's the long way. I said, Dad, look, see all this green here? We're going to be green. See all this red on 90 the entire way in the city? We're going to be stopped.
That's right.
Go this way. We'll get there. Within 2 minutes, I had the arrival time.
Yep.
Of what time we'd pull into the parking lot. And he was just like, okay, maybe I got to get one of these, because it's amazing with all the real-time traffic info. It'll automatically route you the best way.
And that's what did it for my wife. Dave, you were going to say something?
Yeah, it just occurred to me why you call it Comiskey.
Right. It's still Comiskey, Wrigley, Soldier Field. Everything's still, it's still the Sears Tower to me. I know it's the Willis Tower, but it's always the Sears Tower for me.
Yeah.
And there's no ulterior motive for not remembering or not using the current term at all.
None. Correct. None at all. Sox Park, Comiskey.
There you go. There you go. I like it. It didn't even register for me. That's how old I am.
And there's no one, and you're right, though, hardly anybody comes into Sox Park from the west.
Correct.
It's usually wide open, so that's a great route to take.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And the navigation stuff, that's definitely how I got my wife to get a smartphone herself, and she's got an S3 and a Samsung Galaxy. She loves it. And the reason why was she kept calling me when she'd be on the road someplace, and she has terrible, awful, she'll admit this, this is not me bad mouthing her, she has the worst sense of direction you could possibly have. It's so bad, we laugh about it, that she'll literally be like, oh, should I take a left or a right? And I'll say, which way do you think you should go? Because whichever way you think it is, go the other way.
Is the sun on your left or right?
Yeah. Oh, I've had that conversation with her too. It's like, that's great, but what do I do when it's cloudy?
Yeah, you know? Or if it's noon, then you got a problem.
So, well, you know, speaking of getting people to use computers, speaking of, you know, making that transition and being able to use the technology that we have around us, I know, Dave, you had sent me a note literally right before the show, pretty much, expressing an interest in helping seniors out with the technology that we have around us. Did you want to talk about that a little bit today, or did you want to hold on it, or what, you know, what...
Well, it depends on what the schedule. What does the schedule allow? It's already a quarter after, and When did you plan to get Jay on, or did you want to? I'll be happy to talk about it if you'd like.
Well, you know, maybe what we should do, why don't we bring Jay on for a few minutes here, and then we can see what kind of time we got. I know we want to talk about the droids some more. I think we're going to kind of interleave that into our.
We can talk. We can slip that in anyway.
Anywhere we want. So I'll leave it to you, Dave. I can either call Jay right now, or we can talk for 5-10 minutes about old people and the problems they have.
maybe Jay has some thoughts about this as well. And I think the droid conversation fits very well in this. Should we, you know, part of what I'm interested in is what should be the strategies for bringing people, all of us that have some knowledge about technology face this problem. We have people that ask us questions and look for help. So mm-hmm. what should be our strategy proactively? What's a good way to, should we just put out fires when they come up, or should we take more of a tutoring mode, or should we just teach them how to use their phones? Maybe that's, maybe phones are the new, more accessible technology.
Why don't we bring
Jay in, and maybe he can add to the conversation
all right.
as well.
Yeah, he usually has some pretty strong opinions about the use of technology, particularly, oops, and I got to turn on the other PC here, particularly as it comes to use it. Oh, good morning. Here we go. How about this? Jay, are you with us? Oh, man, I hate this. What the heck is going on? Let me try this. Jay, are you with us? Can you hear us? I never know what's going on here.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, man. You know what? I'll have
to... You broke the studio again?
Yeah. I've got... Is it the cue? I don't know what's supposed to happen here.
He's just pressing a whole lot of buttons.
I am. I'm pressing all the buttons. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it this other way.
Hit it with a hammer.
I know what I'm going to do. I'll bring it this other way. Skype, I can add people to the Skype call and do it this way. I don't know what's going on in this studio anymore lately. It's what we've been having some technology issues up and down as part of our refurb of the entire... Hey, there he is.
There he is.
Sorry about that, Jay. I saw you come on, but I couldn't hear you. And I don't know if you could hear us, but...
I could.
Jay, we couldn't hear you, so Michael was naturally blaming the IT staff for the station.
Right.
I'm just so happy not to be the IT staff.
Right, he was pointing out the window and yelling at people walking by. They didn't even know what was going on. But.
Exactly. It was him. Him, I tell you. Oh, man. Well, Jay, thanks for joining us, and I'm glad we were able to get you on and we can hear you and all that good stuff. I was complaining earlier. I want to make sure we don't miss this time and mess this up. We got so involved in our conversation about books and the other stuff we were talking about last time. I never asked you for a new geek trivia question. So I want to make sure we do that quickly this time, so that we don't forget again.
Okay. So you just want to lead off with that? Go right to the good stuff, huh?
Might as well. Well, just because we're going to ask a question, but then we're going to keep you on because we've got other stuff. Dave actually had some stuff he wanted to talk to you about with phones and technology and use thereof and old people. And so we, of course, thought of you.
Thank you. Well, as far as geek trivia goes, this coming week will be the 108th anniversary of the publication of Einstein's famous equation, E equals MC squared.
Oh, shoot.
True.
Gosh.
Is that a true false?
Darn it. Yeah.
If that's a true false question, I will say true. E does equals MC
squared. We're having nothing but problems. That was Dave trying to call back in. Dave, are you with us now?
I'm in.
Okay.
I am in.
You were out. We got a new call in. I don't know what the heck's going on here. Let's bring Jay back again. This is the
I can do some cell phone trivia. I can just start firing up questions. You just have to have my head if you want. We can throw in.
No, we probably dropped the internet connection again.
I don't know, because Jay was still with us. We had just lost you, really, was all that had happened. Now I don't know if we've got Jay back. Jay? No, he's not there. Okay, here we go. Let's try this. Now we're calling him. There we go. I, you know, it's
now I, No, I made up the IT.
Hey, there he is. I'm sorry, Jay. We lost Dave. Dave called back in. I tried to get Dave back on, and that wound up. It's a long, complicated story. it's the usual you know, smooth operation here at WRLR that you've become accustomed to. You were in the middle. It was the 108th anniversary of the E equals MC squared equation being created by our good friend Mr. Einstein. But we didn't get to hear the actual question. Paul said true. He immediately jumped in and said true.
Right. I thought that was a true false question, so I answered true, and I asked what my prize was.
Your prize is to get to hear a second follow-up question. So when Einstein published his mass energy equivalence equation in the Annals of Physics in Germany in 1905, he didn't write it out as E equals MC squared. He described his equation differently. And so the question is, what is the original Einstein formulation of mass energy equivalence that we know today as E equals MC squared? How did he write it out the first time he published it?
Huh.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Yeah, I don't even know. Now, I know a fair amount, too, about that situation. And, of course, there's all the controversy over, did he, you know, come up with it out of whole cloth himself, or was it, something that a group of he and other people were talking about, and he kind of glommed onto it on his own and things like that? But I don't recall seeing anything about the actual original equation that he came up with. That should be that's a good one, as always.
Well, most people don't think about it
because his original publication was in German. So they don't tend to go look it up.
yeah, that is a good point. And I'm thinking, they use all the same letters we do, so it couldn't just be like the German E, you know, or like an E with an umlaut over it or something. It probably is not.
I will give you the hint that the original equation does not include an umlaut.
Okay, all right, fantastic. So at least we've got that to start with. That is a good one. We'll definitely be thinking about that for next week. And I'm glad that we got it, so I wouldn't forget here by the end of the time. We were talking right before you came on, Jay. Dave had sent me a note and was curious about avenues for people to take with learning basic computer skills, especially older people. Dave, why don't you take it and see where we wanted to go? Because we started talking about phones and stuff as well.
Right. I'm volunteering at the local senior center, and I noticed the need for people to learn basic computer skills. So my original question to you, Michael, was, What are some good websites for e-learning, for basic computer skills? But I'm just wondering how all of us might handle that. What's the best strategy for handling people in our lives that need a little tutoring around computer skills?
Yep. And I'm sure, Paul, you're in IT as well. I'm sure you deal with this as most of us do. That
you saw me smile when you say that, because for me, even though I was in IT for 10 years and I'm not, you're the IT guy for life.
That's right.
So your friends, family, I still get calls probably weekly. Hey, I was doing this, and can you come over and help me out? Okay, fine. Yeah. You know, I'll come by. You better have food or something.
Now, how do you approach it? Because I get to a point with people where it's, and of course it's usually people that I love dearly, that I get to a point with them where it's like, you know, I've done this same thing for you 12 times now. You've seen me do it. I'm sure you could do this yourself. I know you're a smart person.
Right.
How do you?
Well, if it's friends or family, it's a weighted system, right? How much do I really enjoy your company?
Yeah.
So if it's a good friend or a close family member, I'm talking mom, dad, first relatives. Okay, I've got you.
Yeah.
From there, then it's kind of, if do I really want to be with you?
Yep.
Now, if you're talking about someone who's kind of a stranger, where do they want to go? Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's someone that's not internet savvy, you know, if someone that's internet savvy is going to go to YouTube, or they're just going to Google it,
yes,
and they're going to say, how do I fix this? And they'll get a million answers. If it's someone who's not tech savvy and looking to get tech savvy a little bit, there's always a lot of things with your public library, or a lot of community colleges have intro to computer classes for people, and it's not always you know, we always say, oh, well, it's the old people that don't know how to use them. A lot of people still don't know how to use computers if they don't use them a lot in their jobs. People that don't people that haven't needed to use them have never really gotten to know how to use them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I know we've mentioned this on air many times, but it's a point worth repeating, is that the library, especially for those of us that are older and recall when the library was a place that collected dead trees, this is not the case anymore. It really, that is a very, I wouldn't say a small part, but it's a relatively small part of what the libraries do and offer as a service anymore. And pretty much every library everywhere has got basic computer skill training, Facebook training, LinkedIn training, you know, anything that you can think of. Even some of the better ones have got, you know, up to and including basic computer programming and video management and all this kind of cool stuff. So there's a lot to be said for looking to your local libraries and your community colleges for some of that. Now one of the options, of course, for people that maybe had been relying on computers to do stuff in the past is to go with mobile devices. And I think that was where I know, Dave, you had suggested that Jay might have some input on this, because we've talked about using mobile devices in the past, and they're difficult to use for content creation. But Jay, what do you think about someone who's maybe a bit older? They need a device for simple emails and texting and getting around or surfing the internet, watching the occasional show. Do you think one of the bigger screened phones is enough nowadays, or is
actually I don't. I've actually troubleshot this with my mother recently. For last Mother's Day, basically my gift to her was unlimited tech support for a day. You know, I bought her a new printer.
That's great. I like that.
I cleaned up her laptop, which was unsalvageable actually. So I helped her buy a new laptop. And then she went from a flip phone to a Galaxy Note 2. And the Galaxy Note 2 has been an unmitigated disaster. Even though it's huge for a phone, she still tends to need her reading glasses to read it. But the larger issue is my mother is a compulsive moisturizer. She uses lotion every 15 minutes, and you literally cannot use a touchscreen with damp fingers. Now, you would not think this is an issue, but once I mentioned that my mother could not even answer her phone because her hands are always slick with aloe vera, people came out of the woodwork with the exact same war story. That I just can't answer my phone. Why can't I answer my phone? Oh, it's because I always have lotion. I actually don't think mobile devices are always the right answer. Now, the converse of that is my father-in-law, who was so computer illiterate that at his office, they literally wouldn't let him input his orders because he sold brick. And he, like every other salesman, would go in and input his orders for his client, and they literally assigned a halftime secretary just to him, so he'd never touch a computer because he was always such a disaster with him.
Oh, wow.
But 2 years ago, he got a Kindle Fire, and he's now an expert.
Oh, okay. So he's able to get in and do what he needs to do and all that. Is he now? Kindle Fire, of course, is a great content delivery device. Is he able to use it for emails and the other? I think I see him posting occasionally on your Facebook, right? And he does it all in caps, but.
actually, he's only on Google Plus, believe it or not, because we got him a Gmail account, which you have to have an email account to use a Kindle, because you have to have an email account to get an Amazon account. And you have to have an Amazon account to use Kindle. So he has a Gmail account, which he knows how to use. But because of that, he automatically has a Google Plus account where that's the only reason my wife ever publishes photos to Google Plus, is just so my father-in-law can see them.
Yep.
Because everyone else is on Facebook.
Yep.
But he will occasionally post to Google Plus, just, you know, because he can. And he and his fellow retired friends plan vacations and golf trips via email, and he doesn't even own a keyboard. It's strictly a Kindle Fire.
Wow.
He's never bought any books on it, but you know, he goes and he checks the baseball scores, and you know, he still gets his hometown newspaper, but he reads Sports Illustrated on the Kindle Fire and all that sort of thing, and he's really happy with it.
Yep. Yep. Now, and my mom falls into that category as well. She's got a she's got a Kindle Fire, and she actually too has an Android tablet. I can't recall what the model number is. Exactly the same though. She reads. Her big thing is newspapers. You know, every time she would come down, there would be this huge, when am I going to get the paper? How do we get the paper? I got it. It's Saturday. We can pick up the Sunday paper tonight. You know, we got to go. Now that's not an issue anymore. She's got it all on her on one of her devices. My mom's always been fairly computer savvy, though, in fact. But this has been a nice transition for her. She does not even bring her laptop with her anymore, even for the stuff that she's still likes to do with Facebook and email. She just uses her tablet.
Right. No matter how computer savvy you are these days, there's so many devices out there. There's so many. I mean, there's just so much to learn. Even someone who's I'm pretty good with technology. I mean, I still don't know how to use some things. Just there's so much out there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Well, and you know, I think a good one really interesting thing you brought up though too was the as big as the screens are getting. There's still a point where you know our physical being fails us, and you got to have something that's large enough that you're comfortable and you're not squinting at. My wife has got that problem right now. Her eyes are starting to go, and she can't use her phone without looking, you know, without getting those reading glasses on. And Paul's doing the 3 foot stare where your arms are getting shorter is what happens, and.
you have to hold your phone like 3 feet out and then kind of turn it and then look. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got that. Oh, funny message. That's good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
The Android notification bar is a cruel, cruel joke to people in that position, I promise you.
Yep. No, I do love, we were just talking earlier, I do love the active display on some of the new droids where you can, especially like sitting in a meeting, it'll bling up at you and you can just touch it or even hover your hand over it, and it'll tell you what the most recent message is that it's alerting you to. There's also, too, you know, Dave and I were talking earlier about websites. There's a website that I am aware of. It's called Good 50. Just like it sounds, G-O-O-D, and then the numbers, 5-0. And it's basically, it takes Google and layers a search on top of it, or uses the Google search and layers on top of it a low vision friendly interface so that you can go to the website and use that instead of Google, type in your search, and it'll come up and everything's huge. So you can read it. You don't have to find your goggles to look at that. Another one that's similar to that, but actually sets up more of kind of a kiosk interface for you, is called, it's got the unfortunate name of LD, ELDY, like elderly, but without the Earl in the middle.
Specific target for that app.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible. If I needed this app, it would probably take me a little bit of swallowing my pride to use an app called LD. But if you do need it, it looks pretty cool. It sets up just a couple of basic buttons that you can use that will let you find new mail that's been read and mail that you need to send and things like this. It's got a couple of other applications that you can build into it and use it that way. So there's some ways to move around and use this kind of thing. Now, I should ask, I mean, we've got Paul here from Verizon, of course, and one of the reasons that he's here, there's been a huge amount of change and new technologies and new devices for mobile use. I should probably ask, I mean, do they have devices that you're aware of that are specifically for, you know, elderly or people with physical challenges? Or?
Well, I would say when you're talking about a phone, I mean, specifically for an elderly person, a lot of things I was showing you with these new droids would work perfectly for them because I can call, I can text, I can navigate, I can do it all without touching the phone.
Mm.
So if this phone is just sitting in my car, I can have it navigate me home without touching it.
Oh, that's true.
So all those voice commands, I think, really play into someone who is, A, not familiar with smartphones, whether it's someone who's new to the smartphone arena or someone who's elderly and just never had phones before.
Mm-hmm.
That really plays into their, you know, it's really good for them. And a lot of things that we have, you know, you've got your wireless workshops. So, they can come into a store and talk to someone who can really sit down with them to, you know, show them the ins and outs of their phone. If they don't have someone like you or I in their family that can show them, you know, the phones are getting simpler and simpler all the time. So with these new, like a lot of the things that we've talked about with these new droids, with all the voice commands are really, that's what phones are going to, I think, just new software now.
Now, is that a service that the, you know, if you go into a Verizon Wireless store, and I'm going to pick on Verizon because you're here. If I go into a Verizon Wireless store and I'm buying a phone and I'm a little bit older, I'm not sure what I'm getting. Is that something they'll take the time with you to say, let me help you get this set up? Let me show you how to use your voice and send it into drive mode and things like that. Do they have the time? Will they help you with that? Or is that
absolutely
something
that, that's the one thing is putting the right person into the right device.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
kind of finding out before they, you're even shown a phone, they'll ask you some qualifying questions about what do you want to use it for? What are you looking to get done and get them into the right device? Cause we don't want a customer coming back a week later. You've got 14 days to try it out. We don't want them coming back and returning it and getting a different one.
Yeah.
We want them to get them into the right device the first time. So it's usually kind of, you know, get them into the device, show them how to use it. They, you know, people usually take the device home, they start playing with it, they, you know, they dive into it. Then if they have questions, they can always check online for help, for tutorials. They can come back in the store to get help, or they can sign up for the wireless workshop to get some help from the real experts.
Yep. Okay. No, that's cool. And of course, with all the droid stuff, that's one of the reasons I am a big fan of the Google and the Android operating system is if you've been using it, it's incredibly easy to move up to a new phone or to do whatever. Everything's, you know, right there. It's kind of like I was talking about with the iPad and updating the iPad. Once it's set, then everything just comes down and it's all pre-configured for you.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, well, certain people. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, I was just wondering. I'm sure that Verizon's done a ton of market research and knows its markets very well. And I was wondering if you have figured out yet why when people are using voice recognition software and it's not understood by the phone, why people start yelling at the phone. Do you know that?
It's like when you talk to someone who doesn't speak the language, you just talk louder.
Yeah.
No. Do you understand me now because I'm talking louder? Right. Just yell at it. Yell at it. It'll get better.
See, the thing is, I have found that effective with children. So I guess it's just sort of an instinct that you apply it to other situations.
Right. Well, I've got three kids, too. With them, it's just all about your look and your – and you know. And the sound of your voice. It doesn't matter what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a totally different conversation.
So that's the whole the face recognition software now. That might, if you give the phone a dirty look, that might help, right?
Right.
That's right.
We're going to work on that next. We were just talking about facial recognition software before we started, so maybe you can work on that.
There you go. Well,
get your phone to recognize when you're angry.
I have heard of some talk about integrating some of the different biometrics into the phones. Now, speaking of Motorola, is one of the things I miss with my Atrix. My Atrix had this, was the fingerprint recognition. My work forces me to have, you know, not just a regular type of lock screen, but I have to do the whole thing with the capitals and the exclamation points and the numbers and all that. It's like, oh, come on, you know. So every 10 minutes to use my phone, I got to go through this thing. And I the keyword is much easier to use than it ever has been. But man, what a pain. The Atrix, though, it was great, is that I could just swipe my finger and most of the time it would work. Now, I know the Apple's coming out with that. I haven't heard anything about if it's good or not yet, but that did intrigue me that they're having that. Is Motorola going, have they completely decided they're just not going to do fingerprint stuff anymore?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I haven't heard anything about that right now. You never know with what, like we talked earlier. I mean, the phones are also powerful with the big screens and cameras. Now it's all about what else can you add on to there.
Yeah.
So now they've got a lot of the wireless, you know, no hands operations. We'll see. Maybe, who knows what kind of attachments are coming out.
Well, and I guess with the front-facing cameras being pretty much ubiquitous now in all the droids, mm-hmm. Adding eyeball scanning shouldn't be too tough.
Right. I mean, there's so much crazy stuff. I mean, I've been here 17 years. And phones, when I first started, all they did was talk.
Yeah.
All you did was dial it, and that was it. When it had upper and lowercase letters on your phone book, that was, like, awesome.
Yeah.
I can write my name in upper and lower case. This is so sweet.
That's right. And when you didn't have to multi push to get that, but you could just hold it down and it would start cycling through. Speaking of keyboards too, that is one thing I would recommend to anybody who's using their device for input at all. I love the by default installed Google has like the what is it called, the Google. It's not called Swipe, because that's where I'm going with this, is I actually got the advanced Swipe keyboard. And
right, the different apps you can download to input texting and whatnot. Right, there's so many out there. I've used a couple of different ones. But, yeah, a lot of people like the swiping type thing where you don't have to lift your finger off the screen. I'm more of a voice. I love just pressing the button and talking into the phone and have it enter my information as I speak it.
See,
and there it is, right there on my phone. So
the problem is it doesn't make the Star Trek communicator chirp before it does that. See, I want to make the flip motion and start with Kirk to Enterprise, and then it's ready for the command. But I can't find anyone that'll let me set my phone up that way.
you know, I bet you could, actually, now that you bring that up, because you can, with Google, you can tell it how you want it to wake up and record a different wake up command. Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Dragon. Dragon Nuance, I know, allows you to do that, where you can configure what wake up command you want it to use. I don't know if you can set a custom, you know, sound file, though, as the indicator that it's actually listening. But I wouldn't be surprised if you could. You may want to, Jay, if you really want to do that, you may want to go and download Dragon Nuance and see if you can do that, or even just check out the Google Now features. That's an awesome idea.
Now that I say that out loud, I'm thinking that's an app that needs to exist.
Right.
It's just an interface to the Google Voice search that and the accelerometer. Like, there's got to be a way to code that.
Oh, yeah.
But I know it's coming. I know Google's going to get there, because for someone who has very briefly played around with Google Glass, that's how you do the voice interface in Google Glass, is you just say, okay, Glass. Mm-hmm. And that's the keyword for it to listen for a command after that, because it's entirely hands-free, or at least it can be. So there's got to be some way to just have that in the base Android operating system to give it a vocal keyword, maybe also off of an accelerometer motion, because right now, to do the voice, I think you hold down the home key, and it'll, if you hold it down long enough, it'll kick into what do you want to do, voice command mode.
Yeah.
And that's actually something I've been trying to disable, because as someone who occasionally hands a phone into a backseat of a car so someone can play Angry Birds Star Wars, it gets mashed into voice command mode with surprising frequency.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I've got mine set so that when I say okay Google Now, or just okay Google, it'll come up. And I've got mine paused right now so it won't start, because what's happened is I've been telling people about it, and then it'll kick on.
Right.
And Dragon has that too. I haven't had the problem with the Google, now that I think of it. It was with the Dragon, where I would tell people, oh yeah, I've got Dragon on here, I can just say hey Dragon or hello Dragon, and it'll come right up. And every time I do that, it would respond. It would say, yes, what, how can I help you?
have you used the okay Google Now find my droid?
No, I haven't. I've connected it so I can look online now to find out where my phones are, but I haven't done that. No.
That's a good one. So if you lose your phone around, just you have to run around your house yelling, "Okay, Google Now, find my droid."
And what is it? What does it do when it hears you?
Eventually, it'll start. It'll, even if your phone is on silent, it'll start ringing.
Oh,
it'll start ringing.
Oh,
and it'll start beeping, and it'll get louder and louder and louder and louder. Then you can find it. I've already used it once because I couldn't find it yesterday, and I'm running around the house screaming,
"Oh,
okay, Google Now, find my droid."
I've got to do that, because my wife is constantly losing and misplacing her. I'm such a creature of habit. I almost never lose mine, because it's like there's two places I would ever put it, in my pocket or on the charger. But my wife has got purses and bags and things and backpacks, and she's moving around with the kids a lot. Okay, Google Now, find my droid. I'm gonna have to.
It's a good one.
And
it's the latest version of, do I have a wireless handset or am I schizophrenic? Because to the outside observer, you have no idea.
You can be both. You can cross that. There's a Venn diagram that fits that.
That Venn diagram does overlap.
That could be a really mean party trick. You know, just yell that at a party and everybody's phone starts going off.
Yeah, you know what? They need to integrate that into some house music. And
there you go. And then everyone's phone will start blinking. It's like added effects.
That's right. Exactly. And nice. All these different ringtones going. I'm digging that. I think the next music party that I have, which, yeah, you know, the last one was 20 years ago. I'm going to fit that in there.
True. So. But this podcast does have theme music.
Oh, that's right. And I've got the podcast only song of the week. And, you know, I'm not going to do it this week for people that are listening. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll throw it in there.
And I apologize. It's Call My Droid, not Find My Droid.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. Okay, Google now. Call My Droid.
Right. Awesome. We'll start.
Awesome.
We'll start
beeping and Paul's worried right now it's going to start happening. But I like it. So there are some ways that technology has improved for us and made life just a little bit better, which is a good thing. Yeah, the new Google has the ability, you can go and manage your phone now online. It's one of the lesser known upgrades that happened recently with the Google Now being part of that. And it doesn't have to be, your phone doesn't have to be the 4.2 or 4.3 version of the Droid operating system. As long as it's part of the Google universe, you can go to, I think it's google.com/Android or phone or something. I'll find out what it is and I'll put it as a link as one of our cool sites of the week that you can go in and you can see where your phone is. You can tell it to do certain things if you've given the administrative capability, like you can wipe your phone remotely, you can have it start ringing, you can send or receive texts with it, that kind of thing. So it's actually a pretty useful little tool to have. Another tool here, I'm gonna kick into a couple of cool sites of the week here, just because we're kind of on this topic. I had been looking for this for quite a while. As Paul mentioned earlier, I do a lot of work with telecom and stuff. I give a tremendous number of presentations and demonstrations of things having to do with technology. NEC has got communications solutions that actually work in a BYOD environment where you can use your Android and basically have that phone be as if you were on your corporate network or your corporate phone system. So one of the things that I'm challenged with is when I'm given a webinar, being able to show people how this works with your iPad or with your Android phone. And in the past, we've done goofy stuff like, you know, I'll hold it up to the camera on the laptop and say, see, this is my phone. It really works. what I found, though, is there's a free application called Droid at Screen. And it requires you to install the Java, the JDK, the development kit. But once you've got that in, you can have this little Java application, which when you connect your Android phone, so like these Motorola Droids, I can connect these into my computer with the USB cord, and it'll display everything that's on the screen on my laptop screen. So now I can give a webinar showing them, hey, this is how you use our software on here. And this would be a way that you could also too, Dave, you know, you're talking about helping people understand their phones. You could be showing people in a classroom, you know, all at once, how you use your phone and the applications that are valuable for you, how to get into navigation and things like that.
Very cool. That's always a good idea.
So I'll put a link to that, but it is called Droid at Screen, and oddly enough, the at is actually spelled out A-T. The other application that I use frequently for the same reason, but for the iPad, is called iTools, lowercase I and then a capital tools. And that is just a straight-up application. You don't have to do anything crazy with this. And once you install it, you then, again, you have to connect with your iPad via USB to the computer. But again, it displays a live desktop feed of what's on your iPad. So again, you can kind of flip back and forth and show people what you're doing. So really, really good for doing demos and webinars and presentations and things like that.
Good stuff.
You've seen a lot of those accessories now. They have, you know, little smart accessories that snap into your phone or your tablet that turn it into a projector. those little mini projectors.
Oh yes,
there's so much cool stuff as far as accessories. Yep. It blows me away.
And the new Chrome dongle, of course, too. You know, the Chrome key or whatever it's called. I know they keep talking about that. I think we'll advance to the point where you can do a true mirror display. And right now, I guess there were some apps that would let you do it on there, but it wasn't working all that well and all that. So it's just going to keep getting better and better. There's also, too, for the Androids, you know, iPad and Apples have got the ability to do, what is it called? It's with the Droids, I think it's called MirrorCast. With the iPads, it's called something else, where it's kind of built into the Mac.
The MirrorCast adapters that you can plug into so you can broadcast to a screen or to a stereo.
That's right.
Yeah, there's all sorts of adapters like that for your devices if you just want to stream music to your stereo and not have to plug it in.
Yep.
All sorts of that for music and entertainment.
Yep, exactly.
MirrorCast adapter is one of them.
Yeah,
there's a little USB dongle.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's pretty cool if you really are into having a fully connected house. Because we got Verizon here, so I'll just throw out the plug. I know Verizon supplies pieces like that too and can help, you know, get things like that configured. So that's all good stuff, and it can be easy as you want to make it. I do think that sort of level of automation will eventually get to where, you know, I'm like halfway there. I upgraded my home security system so I can manage it remotely and control it remotely. It was a self-install thing too, but it connects up with the local police and all that as well. And with all the new technologies coming out and some of the new chips that you can actually get into and program and use yourself to turn things on and off remotely, do whatever you want to. As long as you got Wi-Fi in your house, you can totally automate your entire house.
All right, there's wireless switches you can get. I've got cameras right now in my house. I've got three of them where I can check in on the dogs.
Yeah.
I can check in on the kids, on the baby. We have one in the baby's room. So, yeah, and those cameras have motion sensors. You can set it to where it senses motion, it sends you a picture or an alert.
Oh, cool.
I mean, that's awesome. When we're on vacation, we had them out there. Oh, there's nobody in the front room right at the house right now. The dogs aren't doing anything right now. Pretty quiet right now. But I can, check in like that. Remote, your thermostat, you can network.
Exactly.
You can network alarms for sump pumps.
Ways to do it where you don't, I mean, you can go with the whole Arduino chip business and like actually do your own thing, but so much of it now is just for easily available out there that you can just purchase it and put it in place. I know Jay, you're used this too. You're a big fan of this as I am. The if this then that ifttt.com.
Oh, yes.
And they have a ton of hooks into this so that you don't even have to manually do it. You go in and configure it to say, you know what, if the temperature goes below 40 outside, I want my furnace to go up to 70, and I want the lights in the basement to turn on. You know, whatever it is you want to have happen, it doesn't matter. You set it up and make it go.
Check out the
new. If this and that is actually really cool because you can set it to all kinds of weather alerts, but you can also set it up. You could just send text messages. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a Wi-Fi dead zone, you know, like just one of the few places left on Earth where it's not, like you can just text certain commands. And they'll hit into your Wemo switches, which were little devices you can plug in mm-hmm. that basically are power controls. Mm-hmm. And it's like text, front lights on. Bing, done.
Right, yep, they've got wireless light bulbs now. You get those Wi-Fi light bulbs that you plug in and you hook into your networks.
Yep.
It's crazy. Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, especially, you know, if you do travel or you're out of town or you know, on vacations and stuff, it's a real nice way to be able to manage your the security of your house without having to, you know, have somebody coming in and checking in on you or anything like that. And I've seen online people who have done as much as, you know, setting up, feeding cycles for the cats when they're out of town so they don't have to have someone come over and getting that all set up so that it's it really combines the physical and digital worlds and they just are automated. I'm a big fan. I'm slowly moseying my way along. I'm not as advanced as Paul with the cameras and things, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
The connected house is coming. Refrigerators. I mean, you can just network. You can pretty much network almost anything right now.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Which means then the NSA knows when you need milk.
Right. And the president can deliver you some. Exactly. Someone will just show up at your door. Here. Why do you have frozen peas? Oh, you just ate the last bag.
Yeah. Well, what they'll do, though.
Men in Black delivery service.
They'll combine
there
that.
There you go, citizen. Here's your cottage cheese.
Well, no, you combine that with big data, and then you say, gosh, what we've found is that individuals that tend to order frozen peas at this regularity also are more likely to be connected with terrorist groups in
So come with
Pakistan.
Us, please. Come with us, so, please.
I just like shawarma. I'm an Avengers fan. Don't exactly. Put me on the pilot.
We don't have a causative link, but the correlative link is strong enough for us to act upon it.
The inference is there.
That's right. What we do have a causative link of is us going over time and Dave getting anxious and Bish being unhappy. So we're right near the end. I hit on some of the cool sites of the week. There's one that I'm so excited about. I'm going to throw one out here again just before we sign out. And this one here, I actually have used this. I don't know if you ever do this where you go out. Jay, I know you do a lunch on Fridays down in St. Louis where people can come in and have lunch with you. You may actually find this useful. There is an app. It's called Tab. It's very easy to find. It's called Tab. It's a bill splitter. It's so awesome. You take your camera on your phone. You snap a picture of the receipt that you've gotten, and it takes all of that, and then you can create identities, or you can on the fly say, you know, these three items should be person one, these are person two, and so on. It then calculates for you automatically how much everybody owes, including tax and your calculated tip, and then everybody can just throw their money in or do whatever how you want to deal with it at that point. But it takes away all of the angst. And Dave, especially since we're talking, and this is why I want to bring this up, we're talking about working with older people, individuals, and not to not to stereotype too much, but it seems to be when I go out with my older relatives, that's when this is an issue. No one's willing to say, 1980, forget about it. Just take 20. You know, it's always, I didn't ask for seconds on a Diet Coke. What the?
Why did you charge me that? Yeah. I'm going to tell my old friend Tom about that app. He likes that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an old age stereotype. I think that's a Minnesota stereotype.
You might be right. You might be right, actually. That is something. Growing up in Minnesota, this was a constant discussion around the table at Denny's and at the Pannekoekenhuis. So,
That one went right over my head. That last one.
Yeah, no. If you're not from Minnesota, you've never heard of the Pannekoeken House, and that may be okay. but I got to close this out. Jay, thank you so much for putting up with our technical issues once again. Dave, as always, fantastic. Thank you for being able to join us. And your Jay let you get away on the Saturdays for an hour to spend with us. And we'll be talking to you guys next week. We'll find out the answer to E equals MC squared and what that originally looked like. And a special shout out to Verizon for letting Paul come over and hang with us. And also, too, letting us have access to some cool tech so we could have fun with it and play with it and check it out. And I'll definitely tell people if you want to find out more about some of the technologies that we've been talking about, your local Verizon store certainly has a great selection of it, or you can go online and look there too to find more information about not just the technology itself, but also to the, you know, the hardware, but also to all the stuff that Google is doing now is just so cool and all that. So it's good stuff to look into. That's it. You've been listening to WRLR on 98.3 FM. Dave, Jay, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Yep. And don't forget, jgarman.net. You can always find out more about Jay there. I am going to leave us with a podcast-only song of the week. I don't know if we'll make through it here, so it may be a true podcast-only song of the week if you're listening live. I am going to play for us a song that I just heard on the way over today. It's by Broken Bells, and the song is called Vaporize. Thanks again for listening. This is WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. Stay tuned for what's coming up next, and make sure you tune us back in next Saturday as well. Thanks.
What amounts to a dream anymore? A crude device, a villain outright. I was lost and